Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's May 8th. A very happy early Mother's Day to all the moms out there. If you're listening to this real time on Friday, May 8th, if you're listening to it 6 months from now, well, a belated happy Mother's Day or an early next Mother's Day to you as well. Moms are awesome. Make sure you give your mom a call if she's still with you. Mine passed away July 7th, 1997. God, I can't believe it's been that long. That's crazy. 23 years almost. And it feels still like yesterday. Isn't that wild? You know, you lose a loved one and time does heal. I mean, there's certainly that hole in your heart starts to close over time, but it still feels like, you know, wow, really? I can't call my mom and wish her happy Mother's Day. Kind of sucks. But now it's up to us to be the parents and the example and the role model that our parents were for us. And if you didn't have a great role model as a parent, well, that's even a better opportunity for you to change generations. I listened to Bob Proctor talk one time, and he was talking about generational poverty. And it really struck a chord with me because I think my mom was raised probably in poverty. I mean, she was born in 1927, so I'm sure they didn't have a lot of money. I'm almost positive of that. We were raised, you know, my dad left in 68 when I was born a few months later. So I very vividly remember walking to the A&P, which is a grocery store in Bradford with food stamps, paying with food stamps at Tops. And then we got off the food stamp. We had a block of cheese. I was in eighth or ninth grade. We used to get the free cheese, the whole big block of it. They'd give it to us. And, you know, I never really looked at it like it was any big deal, though. Like, I wasn't embarrassed. I didn't care, you know. So I think when I got embarrassed though, was when I was wearing a shirt and I was just having this conversation with my wife the other day. It's funny. We were sitting on the front porch and, I was having a glass of Merlot, shocker. And she goes, what was that story about what'd you have on the back of your shirt the one time in ninth grade? I said, yeah, firecracker. That's it. Firecracker. I had a shirt on that we got at the Goodwill store, the Salvation Army, wherever it was. I don't remember. Just, you know, five and dime, humdrum, whatever you want to call it. Goodwill. Free stuff. You know, it's like I pay you 5 cents for a shirt that somebody else wore and they turned it in. And now you get to buy it secondhand. And it had firecracker. You know those letters where you could put your own name on the back of your shirt? We probably don't do that anymore. But there was this kit, or you could go to the store and have that done where you would melt the letters on the back of your shirt. And that's what it was. A lot of kids got white T-shirts, and they would just melt those letters on the back. I don't even know what the name for it is. You guys know if you grew up in the 70s and 80s. But I remember this kid had a T-shirt, and it had firecracker on the back of it. And, like, the I was missing, or maybe the R was missing, something like that. Anyway, I thought it fit me well, so my mom brought it home. Say, I got this at Goodwill. She brought a bag, like a garbage bag of clothes home. Say, I got these at Goodwill. Like, oh, cool. Put them on. And so I wore it to school. And wouldn't you know, one kid said, hey, is that my shirt? I was like, what? And then it dawned on me, I didn't buy this shirt. I bought it, you know, it's a secondhand. He goes, yeah, firecracker. That's what I had on my shirt. Where'd you get that? I thought we threw that out. And he didn't probably put two and two together that his mom or dad brought it down to the Goodwill. And it ended up in the bin that my mom rummaged through and brought it home. And that was pretty embarrassing. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, town of 8,000 people and kids built, you know, the same in ninth grade, the same height, same, you know, could wear the same size shirt, a large or whatever. What's the likelihood of firecracker being written on the back of it? Pretty slim, I might say. Didn't really faze me. I'm like, yeah, okay. I got out of it, like went to the bathroom or something. So my point of all that is just don't ever look back and say, you know, I wish things would have changed. Bob Proctor talks about generational poverty. He says, look, you can change generations of your family. And we have a lot of people listening to this podcast, by the way, that grew up worse than I did or similar circumstances. And my childhood was actually really amazing because I surrounded myself with really great friends, you know. We weren't out doing drugs. I'd love to tell you we didn't crack a beer as teenagers in Bradford, PA in the 80s, but that would be lying to you as well. Just keeping it real. But we were good kids, you know? And so I think that really opened my eyes to kids and the people that you surround yourself with. That's why I'm always like a helicopter dad. I give my girls a lot of leeway. Like, I am not the micromanager guy like that, but I do very interested in who their friends are because I know as a kid, I know as an adult, that you are the product of who you hang around with. I don't care if that's two friends, five, or 20. I mean, you are a product. If your kids are jeweling on Instagram or smoking pot or anything like that, they're not hanging around my kids. And if my kids are doing it, I want to know about it. I want a parent to tell me. And, it's funny. I've been that parent that's confronted other parents in a nice way. Confronted is the wrong word, but shared with them, hey, just want to let you know that, you know, this happened on social media. Your kid posted this and it was sent to my kid or whatever. Wouldn't you know? Never really was well received, you know. And I'm talking about people in our community locally here that position themselves at the right hand of God. Like, oh, my kids are great. And it was wild, man, the response. And still, you know, crazy. And so, but if somebody shared that with me out of love, said, hey, man, I just want to let you know this is what your daughter's doing on the internet, I would want to know about it. So, and I would thank them. And I just don't think people are sincere when they talk about that. And if you're not willing to know the truth about your kids or about your own life or about, you know, you don't got to put it all out there. Say, yeah, this is every flaw that I have. But you got to understand, if you were raised, let me just get back to the original point. Bob Proctor, when he was talking about this, was talking about, hey, you can end generational poverty, but you have to understand. I mean, the same beliefs that got your parents to where they were, that relied on the government for handouts and food stamps and all of these things and welfare, that same belief is that's all kids see when they grow up. They are reliant on the government to support them. And unless you change that and you give an example to your children that it is up to them to go out there and make a difference, then they're just going to carry that into the next generation, you know? And I see that. You know, when I was a landlord, I saw that. I would have, I mean, it started because I was a landlord for, God, what was it? Probably, I had the 40 rentals and for about 15 years or so. And I was starting to see the kids of the parents. So I'd have a family in one of my rentals in a Section 8. Which is assisted housing for the government, helps you pay your apartment. And look, also, by the way, as somebody who actually used these programs myself, I love them. Like, I think it gives people, takes the pressure off when you're going through tough times, especially think about it right now. A lot of people are going to need these government programs. But most of the people on these programs would rather be working. You know, they'd rather be out earning income. They don't want to rely on the government. I don't believe very few people want to take advantage of the system and live off of this, you know, tricks you play where you can start getting this deduction and that deduction and this free money and that free. Very few people want to live like that. It's just, there's no purpose to that. There's no significance to that. So most of the people that you know that are on assistance, they don't want to be on assistance. They're embarrassed to be on assistance. They want to thrive. They want purpose. They want significance in their lives. But when I was a landlord, I would see kids on Section 8 leave their parents' house, and then they would rent from me. You know, this is 8 years later. So let's say they were 12, 14 years old. Parents are on Section 8. They come to me when they're 22, 23, and now they're on Section 8. And they've got kids already, and they're not married, and they're on welfare, and on and on and on it goes. And it's just, yeah, as I look back and the advice that I would give myself, because that's kind of the theme of this week, is always, always focus on how you are going to make generations of your family better. And it doesn't necessarily even need to start with money. It just means to be better. If you can move the needle in the slightest bit, maybe you were the first one in your family to go to college. Maybe you were the first one to get that job. Maybe the first one to go into the military and stay there for 25, 30 years. Or maybe you're the first one to ever own a home in your family. I mean, just examples like that you could change. And the example, you know, my kids have no recollection. And this is the craziest thing. My kids have no recollection of me ever going to a job. Isn't that nuts? Like, they. I think Madeline, maybe. I don't think so, though. My oldest, she would have been 4 when I quit. And then six when I quit the second time. Not even. Yeah, she had just turned six when I quit. So she basically has no record. And the other three had no chance. They don't ever remember. All they remember me doing is being home with them all summer long, going to Kings Island. The summers of 2012, 2013, we were at Kings Island every single day. And it's not that I didn't have to work. I just worked around that schedule. Or I would work as hard as I could until June 1st. And then I took from June 1st to August 1st off, basically, you know. And so I wanted to be an example for my kids. And I think they're starting to see that now. They're thinking more like entrepreneurs. They're thinking more like, how can I do this and support myself? And I got to give them a lot of credit. And I didn't show them what it was like to come home angry. I hate my boss. Oh my God, I got to get a meeting. Sorry, girls, I'm missing your recital because I got to travel this weekend. And that wasn't because of anything I did that was great, anything that you can't do. You can do the exact same thing. But if you can be an example to your children, and look, going to a job that you love and providing for your kids, that's a great example. Providing for your kids in and of itself is a great example. But going to a job you hate and complaining about it every single day, what do you think that's, what kind of a seed do you think that's going to plant in the mind of your kid? Jobs are bad, shouldn't get a job, bosses are terrible, got to go to college just so I can get a degree, so I can get a job. You know, there's no one size fits all, but I'll tell you one thing. When I listened to Bob Proctor talk about generational poverty back in the day, and I forget, it was at some event I think he and I spoke at together, this was probably 10 years ago, and he was saying, look, that you right now, I mean, this is why generational poverty exists, because kids see what their parents do and they model that and mimic that, because between those ages, you know, up until the age of 18, they don't have any other role models besides their friends, but they don't have any other role models of how to navigate these waters, you know, and so they look to the parents, and the parents live off the government and so on and so on and so on and so on. So, man, I'll tell you what, I am so passionate about blazing your own trail. You don't need to blaze a new trail that nobody's ever done before, because there's nothing new on the internet. All you need to do is copy what's working, whatever that looks like for you, copy what is working, put your own little secret spice on it. And if you got to get a job right now because you got to keep the lights on or you got to pay the bills or anything like that, then you do that. That's honorable. That there's nothing embarrassing about that. But what happens is getting comfortable with that steady every week or every 2 week paycheck, because of the person now that you need to become, you have to lower your expectations. You have to put limitations on your mindset, because now you have to kind of mold into this individual who needs to fit nicely into this little corporate structure or whatever that looks like in the job, because you got to do what the boss tells you to do. My prayer for everybody that listens to this podcast is that you understand the greatness that you have inside of you, that you can blaze your own trail whenever that timing, it's never going to look right to you. By the way, I mean, I get this question, of all the questions I get, this might be the most asked one. When can I quit my job? And the answer is, you need to just rip the Band-Aid off at some point, because here's what happened. The longer you stay, the harder it is to quit. It was easier to leave at 25 years old than it is at 45, because now at 45, you've got kids, you got the house, you got cars, you got all these things you got to worry about. At 25, what do you need? Apartment money, beer money, pizza money? I mean, it's not that many things you needed at 25. I wish I would have quit my job at 25, 3 years in, but I don't have any regrets about it, but it would have been so much easier back then, you know? I had a mortgage, and that was about it, a mortgage and a car payment. So I tell you all of this to let you know that you have so much greatness inside. If you have yourself right now at a roadblock, go figure out how to just remove that initial immediate roadblock right there. That's it. Just that initial, whatever's holding you back today. If you're listening to this real time, it'd be May 8th, 2020. If you're listening to it 6 months from now, that it would be that day. What is it? Is it something that you don't know? Is it a financial, is it a math problem that you've had? What is it that is preventing you from living on purpose today? Just today. And then when you remove that one, it will give you momentum into tomorrow. And I'm telling you, it's the simplest way to do it. Because if you put any more pressure on that, like, oh, I need this, I need 10 grand a month. Well, if you're currently not making any money right now, then as an entrepreneur, for example, how about making $100? And then you can turn that 100 into 2 and 5 and then 1,000. Now you're on your way to 10,000. But if you don't know how to make a dollar right now, it'd be very difficult to get to 10 grand. And it's just too big of a number. It doesn't even make sense. But $100, everybody can see that. Everybody can envision that. And so you can change generations, I'm telling you, of your family. You can be the role model for your children. You can show them that a better life exists. You can show them that you don't need to be reliant on anybody else. And you can look back at your legacy 20, 30, 40 years from now and say, wow, that was actually pretty amazing, man. How I was able to, through the grace of God and all the community and people I surrounded myself with, how I was able to create something like this. As opposed to looking back 20, 30, 40 years from now saying, you know, I worked 40 years with this company. Good stuff, good money, provided for my family, sent the kids to college, but now I'm just kind of like every other retiree out here, you know, kind of searching for something to do, searching for significance in this second life that I've got. Most people start their, you know, used to be before the digital age especially, they would start their kind of second career or second life in their 60s and 70s, but I mean, look, the mortality rate in the U.S. is 78 years old. I mean, if you work until you're 65 years old, you've left yourself 13 years to go after your dream. Yeah, no thanks. I'm not really interested in that part. I'd rather leave in my 30s, 40s at the latest, and give myself a good 30 or 40 years to live my best life. So that's the advice I'd be giving myself 15 years ago. That's the advice I give to you today. You can change generations of your family with a single thought. Just a single thought, and then action behind that. Very simple. You don't need, look, we're not here. You don't got to travel to Mars tomorrow, okay? I'm just saying, just change something. Habit, behavior, decision, take action. And watch the momentum be created and how much better you feel and the purpose that you have behind everything. All right. Happy Mother's Day to all the amazing women out there with children. And we'll be back and better than ever tomorrow on the Everyday Saturday podcast. Sam Crowley, have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Everyday is Saturday.